Welcome to Flag Learn Focus, the podcast that brings you closer to the people, places, and stories shaping our community. Today, we are stepping back in time, but not too far, as we sit down with Ed Sharkovich. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, you did. You're going to get an award.
Woohoo!
We'll talk about it at the next meeting.
Excellent. President of the Flagler County Historical Society. So if you've ever wondered about the secrets buried in Flagler's past or the stories behind the names and/or our unsung heroes, this episode is for you. So we'll start with hello and thank you for joining us, Ed.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So why don't you give our listeners just a quick background about yourself?
So I was born in New York City, moved out to Eastern Long Island when I was six, grew up on a small dairy goat farm.
Oh.
During my lifetime, I've been a commercial fisherman, chiropractor, photographer, and since the end of 2018, head of the County Historical Society.
So a jack of all trades, master of some?
Maybe. It'll be in my obituary. We'll find out. We'll find out then.
So what sparked your interest in local history and preservation?
You know, a lot of it came from eating at a small cafe in Flagler Beach, Kokomo's, which is no longer there. Mm-hmm. But during the times that I spent there when I was storm chasing, I didn't talk about that.
Oh, wow.
There was a gentleman that was sitting at the table next to me with his wife and some others that would come visit him. And I overheard him speaking about incredible facets of Flagler County history, especially items that dated back to the Revolutionary War. And it turned out that this guy was Bill Ryan, who had written at the time 7 books about Flagler County history. And one day I decided to lean over and ask him a question, and he sucked me right in with his answer about one of the historic sites in the county that actually dates back to 1770, before the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And after developing a relationship with him and learning about things, literally he drew me in to the remarkable history that we have here in the county. And here I am now, 7 years later.
So what was that historical site?
So the historical site was a British period era sawmill that was built 1770. It cut hardwood lumber from virgin native forests in the county to build ships and housing up in St. Augustine. And during the time of the Revolutionary War, when there was a tremendous influx of 20,000 British loyalists from the 13 colonies to the north, they all evacuated when the Patriots took over and they escaped to British loyal East Florida colony, which is where we are now, in order to get away from the turmoil of the war. And you walk out there on the dam that still exists and the mill pond that's emptied, but there's enough there to be able to envision this sawmill that operated during the time of the Revolutionary War. It's just an amazing place.
It's amazing all the ruins in our area that you just drive by every day and you don't even think about.
Right. The great thing about those things is that you can go and interact with county staff, city staff, state park staff that are all educated on those different windows of history. And they do such a great job of putting information together and presenting it to adults and children to really help understand what this area looked like over different periods of time.
You were telling me earlier before our recording about how much history is buried under the soil. You mentioned like mastodon and mammoth and go ahead. Let our listeners know about that, because I'm fascinated.
When people think about Flagler County, they think about Palm Coast. And with Palm Coast, they think about ITT. And with ITT, you're looking at the late 1960s moving forward. Mm-hmm. But local history goes way, way, way back into the past. Back into prehistoric times, we did in fact have mastodons and mammoths and saber-toothed tigers, giant ground sloths that stood 15 foot tall on their hind legs, armadillos the size of Volkswagen Beetles. And over Palm Coast and Flagler County's development, the digging of retention ponds and canals, a lot of the bones of these critters have been found. Some of them are on display here locally at different museums, others down in places like the Museum of Arts and Sciences in Daytona. So we've got that prehistoric. Then we've got a Native American window of time. We have items on display at our museum in Bunnell The Flagler Beach Museum and Palm Coast Museums also have items on display that are stone tools and pottery that date back 6,000 to 7,000 years ago during Timucuan and other Native American tribes' occupations of this area. So after Native American, we have got first period Spanish, 1500s forward, 1760s English colonial periods, another short window of Spanish colonial period, and then it just continues forward. So history here goes back quite a ways.
You mentioned Timucuan. Are they the oldest tribe that was here, or were there even older?
So they're one of the oldest tribes that have been documented here. There was another tribe to our north called the Wali. It's actually G-U-A-L-E, but it's pronounced Wali. Some of their pottery has been discovered just north of Washington Oaks Garden State Park on the intercoastal side, and they weren't known to have been in this area. So we don't know if it was a trade, you know, traded pottery that came down this far, or if there were actually tribe members down this far, but Timucuan first. And then we had Seminole, which were a combination of Miccosukee and Creek and other tribes that came together around the time of the British occupation.
All right, Ed. So what's one story or artifact in the Historical Society's collection that never fails to surprise people?
Oh, my goodness.
Or just one that's super interesting.
So for me, the woolly mammoth and the mastodon teeth that we have on display are amazing because you realize that these are teeth that are the size of a loaf of bread.
That's crazy.
And you realize that these are things that actually were walking around. So that amazes me. I always walk around to make sure everything, you know, there's no bugs on the floor and things like that before people start coming in. I always look at the teeth. I always look in the Native American display case at this spear point that's like the size of the palm of my hand that came out of the ground from Water Oak Road area of Western Flagler County when somebody was just digging Pensfost holes, and it's still razor sharp on the sides. That to me is amazing because when you hold it, you realize that another hand held it and chipped it in order to create this spear point.
So what's that made out of?
It's made out of a
mammoth. Not just kidding.
So this one in particular is made out of a substance called Florida chert, which is almost like a type of quartz. And came from the panhandle. So so we last week we were just up around the Live Oak area around the Suwannee River, and all this type of rock was there. So that's how it came down to this area. So that's amazing. And then the most recent amazing thing that's come into our possession is the 40-year photography career of a man named Theo Hine, who mm-hmm. was a photographer in Flagler County from the early 1950s. Through the early 1990s, and we took in 30 boxes of photos and negatives and the camera equipment that he used to shoot it all. And we've gone through just one box, and it's literally a gold mine of Flagler County history. Theo Hine, mm-hmm. we kind of jokingly say that he was a colorblind photographer, not for his own vision, but because he photographed everybody. Black, white, Hispanic. He had no boundaries during mm-hmm. his career. So the contents of these boxes is revealing the black community in Bunnell and everybody else. And many of these photos I've shown to a women's group down at the Carver Center, mm-hmm. and they are in some of these photos. Some of these women are in these photos. They're seeing family members that are long deceased, and they've never seen these pictures before. So
what time period are we looking at with
that? Again, between the early 1950s through the early 1990s, he photographed everything. People, places, things, from the water, from the air. There's a lot of aerial views of the county that were under development, both at the beach and in Bunnell, that have not been seen for decades. So those are my top three, things of the past and things of the present, which is also the past.
How did the Flagler County Historical Society get its start?
So the County Historical Society was originally just a group of pioneer family people that loved history. They were genealogists that had researched their family's arrival in Flagler County in the late 1890s. They were just meeting as a recreational group. They decided to form the County Historical Society in 1983. So that's when we were incorporated. Also at the same point in time, there's a house that's directly across from the courthouse we were talking about a little bit earlier, known as the Holden House Museum. Mm-hmm. The Holden House was owned by Tom and Ethel Holden. Tom Holden was a pharmacist, also known as the area doctor, because there weren't any MDs around that early on. And the house had fallen into disrepair, had gone into foreclosure. The county had taken possession of it. It was going to be taken down for a parking lot, and the newly formed Historical Society got a hold of grant funding to restore the house, and that became their headquarters and museum, which is where it still is right now.
Is it haunted?
Here's what's interesting. I have not, how can I answer this? So during times that we have had county workers come in to do work or to check on alarms and things like that, they all have told me about experiences that they have had in the building. We have in the house a security camera. We have security cameras on the outside. We have a security camera in the house. And periodically, I will get a notice from the fireplace mantle camera that it has detected a person in the room. So I'll go back and I'll look at the video footage, and it's not a person, but it's like, I guess you would call it an orb that's floating in front of the camera, and it'll float around and then it'll zoom off in one direction. So I don't know. I guess it's a matter of interpretation.
So why is it called the Holden House? I take it the Holdens lived there?
They did. Tom and Ethel Holden. Okay. Yep. Tom Holden was the town pharmacist. Ethel's parents owned the Pine Grove Inn, which used to stand next door to the Holden House. And it was a hotel, I guess basically a hotel motel for people that were coming into the area by train mostly and down Dixie Highway to look for farmland property.
You mentioned train. How important is the rail system to our area?
So going back into the mid to later 1800s, we had narrow gauge railroads that were built throughout the county in order to bring produce from farmland out near Crescent Lake, out near places like Neoga and Roy in northwestern Flagler County, to Crescent Lake and where steamships used to come in off of the St. John's River, also timber and things like that. Over time, as better roads were built, the railroads kind of went away. Mm-hmm. Henry Flagler came through in the 1890s with his railroad, overtook other railroads that had been built. And those railroads brought people down from up north to come and buy farmland from the Bunnell Development Company, which was formed around 1906, 1908, in order to sell the American dream of farm ownership here locally to people mostly in Chicago, but also up in New York tri-state area and other spots up north for the same reasons that we have today. Get out of the cold. You know, we never have frost. We never have bugs. We never have, you know, heat. It's the most perfect place in the world to live. But the railroad was the very first venue that people used to get down here. Then 1915, Dixie Highway was built. 1926, US-1 was built, and then that became more of an area as transportation became available to everybody else.
So Dixie Highway is not that old.
Old Dixie Highway, 1915.
Yeah.
1916. It was built through our area. Prior to Dixie Highway, we had King's Road, which was built 1767-ish.
Is that the same King's Road then? Old King's
It's in the same general area. Yeah. Okay. So back when the British built King's Road, they paved it with oyster shells that were taken from Indian burial mounds.
Oh, dear.
In the area. And those roads were used by horses, by carts, and, you know, rain and environmental conditions. Eventually, the roadbed would turn into a ditch and fill with water, and then they would move the roadbed 10 feet that way, 15 feet that way, and then it would, another 5 years later, they'd move it 10, 15 feet that way.
So it evolves.
So the current Old King's Road is a generalized area of where King's Road always has been.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you involve younger generations in learning about preserving history?
We have in our magic bag of tricks incredible people that love history, have researched different windows of history, and some of them write books. Some of them go out to events dressed like period characters that that represent the history that that they're involved with. So whenever we have events, either small scale or large scale, a lot of our authors will set up booths. A lot of our reenactors will set up tables and engage with children. We've had school group tours, both in the school district and also with homeschoolers that have come through not only our museums in Bunnell, but also through some of the other museums in the county, like the Flagler Beach Museum, Palm Coast Museum, African American Cultural Society Museum, Florida Agricultural Museum, all of those areas as well. So we're constantly looking for new ways to engage students to teach them the lessons, because that's really the motivation that we've got for doing what we do.
Speaking of new ways, you've had a first of its kind recently, June of this year in Bunnell. You had quite a fabulous event.
We did. Bunnell History Day. Mm-hmm. It was the inaugural event like it. Mm-hmm. We had it centered in the Edward Johnson event field, which is right behind the old courthouse, right there on Moody Boulevard. And then we had other satellite locations like the Carver Community Center, the Holden House Museum, Cisco Dean Research Library, the Little Red Schoolhouse Museum, which is at Bunnell Elementary, the Bridges United Methodist Church. We had guest speakers and exhibits and displays, food trucks, vendors, kids zone, all kinds of things.
It was really attracted a crowd. It was really well attended too.
It really was.
Phenomenally well attended.
Yep. So our Holden House Museum had 150 people that came. Same with the Cisco Dean Research Library right next door to it. Mm-hmm. Our opening ceremony had approximately 75 people. Each of our speakers had 40 to 50 people. The Little Red House School Museum, which is really opened infrequently, looking mm-hmm. to change that, had 60 people. One of our reenactors is a National Park Service guy who is a crowd estimator for the Castillo de San Marcos in downtown St. Augustine. And mm-hmm. he estimated that at the main event field, where all the food trucks and everything else were taking place, there was approximately 2,000 people there.
That's amazing.
So the number that we are writing down for our tourism office report coming mm-hmm. up at the end of this month is going to be somewhere around 2,200 people.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any lesser known historical figures from Flagler County that deserve more recognition?
It's the regular everyday person. Mm-hmm. We have got some memoirs of folks that have just decided to come in and tell their story, either written down or audio interview or video interview, that have remarkable stories of just everyday life. In any community, there's movers and shakers and people that make a name for themselves. Flagler County was originally designated to be called Moody County.
Oh, really?
In honor of Isaac I. Moody, who mm-hmm. was the St. Johns County Commissioner that bought 40,000 acres here locally to basically attract buyers for farmsteading and whatnot in Bunnell. But Isaac Moody said, no. He said, let's name it after my good friend Henry Flagler. And Henry Flagler said, yeah, let's do that. So those are the mover shaker people. But really, yeah. Just like today, you know, it's the everyday people that get up, they go to work out west in western Flagler County. They start up their tractors, and they're the ones that are supplying potatoes and cabbage and corn to everybody. They have just as important of lives as people in the political scene, because they're a part of what makes this entire county work. So I don't know that I could, you know, point it to any one given individual. Actually, I can. So last year we had the tremendous opportunity to speak to a woman who was in her early 90s. She is the last known survivor of the town of Matanzas. The town of Matanzas, which used to stand immediately south of Princess Place Preserve. It's on the old DuPont plantation, and her families were a mixture of DuPonts and Eatmans, mm-hmm. Each of which had huge plantations in the area. She wanted to tell her story, so a group of us got together with her daughter on the old family homestead, still on DuPont plantation property, and we sat down and spoke with her for 11 hours of interview time. And,
oh, wow.
And this woman was brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know, just a regular everyday person. You know, she was involved in community things. And we would go 3 hours and then we would get tired and then she would get tired and we'd say, let's go and call it quits for the day. We'd go back the next week and she started right off where we left
That's
off.
Amazing.
She, you know, she would look at us and we're like, we don't even know what to ask her, you know, because she just kept on just going, you know, and we'd meet with her the next time and she'd say, yeah. last time we left off with, and then she would say it. And I'm like, I look at, you know, my friend Preston, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, she's right there. And then she'd go for another 3 hours. And so Celia Slack, uh-huh. who is an Eatman and a DuPont,
okay.
She is somebody that I would say not a whole lot of people have heard her name before. But mm-hmm. if you go on the Flagler County Historical Society's YouTube channel, mm-hmm. You can find the interviews with her. And it's just a fascinating story because Matanzas is no longer a town. There's nothing above ground, you know, as a remnant that says there was a town here. But at one time, the town of Matanzas had a commissary, a post office. It was a stagecoach stop, horse-drawn mm-hmm. stagecoach stop for Buck's Stagecoach, which used to bring people from St. Augustine through this area. There was a stop there with like, you know, not a restaurant per se, but a woman that would cook meals for whomever it was, mm-hmm. and would get paid for it. And then it would go down to New Smyrna Beach and an area south. So she was a wealth of knowledge, literally. 2 weeks after we finished the interview, she passed away.
Oh.
And how lucky were we to
have
a gift. Been able to mm-hmm. gotten all of that down. But she was ready to go. You know, mm-hmm. we kind of joked around and said we think we'd still, you know, a year later, we'd still be talking to her every 2 weeks because she was getting ready to show us how her parents taught her how to weave cast nets and you know, unbelievable things that this woman had.
Well, it is interesting, and you kind of touched upon this, that as part of a historical society, it's not necessarily focused on the past, it's focused on stories, and we're creating new stories every day. So how much of what you all do revolves around capturing the stories of the present to tell future generations?
That's the most important aspect of what we do. One of our senior historians, Claudia Dean, D-E-E-N, Malo, mm-hmm. she's the sister of Cisco Dean, who just passed away a couple of years ago. He was one of our founder historians. One of her favorite quotes is, every time an older person passes away, it's like a library burning to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so critical for us to get the stories, to get the information from our parents and our grandparents, great-grandparents, down so that we know our history. We, mm-hmm. we know our place in a community, whether it's here or it's grounded somewhere else, and we're just, you know, immigrants into Flagler County. But it's absolutely critical because, for me, history growing up was boring. I just couldn't stand it because it's names and dates mm-hmm. and things
memorization.
That, as a junior high school student or high school student, you're like, how is this even going to make a difference in my life? It's just boring. But that's one of the things that changed my attitude about that over the years, is that yes, it's names and dates because those are, you know, anchors, but really it's the life skills, skill sets, the survival skills in some cases that apply to the area they're living in. And because history will repeat itself, it's important to know the lessons of the past because mm-hmm. it changes your view of the present and the future.
Exactly. I agree. So, Ed, if you could time travel to any period in Flagler County's history, what would it be?
I'd really like to see mastodons and mammoths and not necessarily the saber-toothed tiger. You know, we go out to historic sites, and because we've got stories of some of the early pioneers going out fishing, hunting, exploring, and they've come across panthers and bears, which we still have,
mm-hmm.
But you just don't see them as frequently. Although recently, Lincolnville in downtown St. Augustine had a bear wandering around. Actually, we had a bear wandering around just south of the Carver Gym, going
Oh, really?
Through people's garbage cans in that neighborhood there. But I'd love to be able to just time travel back and just see what was walking around, what they mm-hmm. were doing, because that's a fascinating thing.
Is there any upcoming events or initiatives that listeners should know about?
So we're starting to plan things for the fall. One of our collaborations that we've been working on now for the last couple of years has been with Elaine Studnicki, who is the past historian for the city of Palm Coast. She's a past president of the Palm Coast Historical Society, and she is the founder of the Flagler History Academy. Mm-hmm. This is an idea that I've been jealous of ever since she put it forth. I've got concept envy, is what it's formally called. But she had put together a combination of classroom hours with historians and reenactors, actually teaching different windows of history. With that also were bus tours that would take people around the county and show them what Flagler County has to offer for historic sites, some of which are still above ground, others are buried mm-hmm. still. And then this past year, she did all of that plus a boat tour of some of the canals and segments of intercoastal waterway. Okay. So that's one of the things that mm-hmm. That she's working on that we're excited about for the fall. September, October, November, December, we'll be putting a schedule together. You can go to the Flagler History Academy Facebook page and see past photos of what's taken place there, and also have a QR code link to take you to what's happening next. Okay. So we're starting to lay the foundational groundwork for the next Bunnell History Day, which will be earlier in the year when yeah. it's not a million degrees out. And we're thinking right now of having an annual Bunnell History Day with a changing theme. That way it's not, you know, hey, it's the 114th, the 115th.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that can get old after a while, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And so for next year, we're thinking right now about a potato festival and an ethnic diversity showcase for the different culture groups that are in Flagler County.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I just got hungry thinking about potatoes. Like baked potatoes, fried potatoes,
yep.
potato olays, taters.
It's turning into that Bubba Gump cookbook right there, you know, talking about shrimp for an hour.
I'm just very hungry right now. Excellent. So if people were interested in volunteering their time or the community wanted to support your initiatives, where do they go?
So,
what should they do?
So Flagler Volunteer Services is a great community organization. Mm-hmm. They really are kind of like a clearinghouse for people that want to get involved some way. So mm-hmm. that would be a great place to register. And then the other way is to go online and look at the websites for the Flagler County Historical Society, Flagler Beach Museum, Palm Coast Historical Society, Florida Agriculture Museum, which has rebranded itself, mm-hmm. African American Cultural Society. Take a look, see what each facility does, what their focus is, and find what interests you, and then go and do that. Be active. There's so many medical studies that show that people that retire from work but don't retire from life, that continue to have a mission and a purpose and a reason to get up every morning, they live longer, they have a higher quality of life, their memories are thriving as opposed to getting, you know, soft and forgetful, because they still have something that drives them. Mm-hmm. So my best advice would be to get online, research what we have available here in the county, get on Facebook, see what's happening, find something that appeals to you, and then go and show up and make a difference. Doesn't have to be something that you're committed to and you're tied to, you know, 10 hours a week or a month, but, you know, do something to find and fulfill your own personal life, and then make a difference with what we're doing here in the history community.
Well, that is great advice all around. Thank you.
It's win-win.
It's a win-win situation.
It's a win-win situation.
On that note, thank you so much, Ed, for visiting with us this morning.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yes. All right, everybody, that does it for now for Flagler in Focus. Until next time.